Hello, my name is Alex DeBoer. This is your Vancouver COVID update. Today is Monday, March 30th. So it's the end of the month and rent is almost due. And a lot of BC renters are wondering exactly how to handle this situation. Last week, the provincial government announced a temporary rental supplement for renters, in addition to halting evictions and freezing rent hikes. This is good news, of course, but it may not be enough to help renters by April 1st. Most notably, the rental supplement of up to $500 won't be accessible in the next few days. So what do renters do? To get answers to these questions and more, I spoke with Vancouver Tenants Union Steering Committee member David Hendry. David walked me through the VTU's COVID-19 Renters Toolkit. Hopefully this interview will be helpful.
Cool. So the Vancouver Tenants Union has been working really hard to protect renters as usual. And specifically, you've developed some online documents for renters to use during this public health crisis. And one of the most important being your Renters Toolkit. So could you start off by giving me a just brief overview of what kind of information this toolkit provides for renters?
Right. Well, it seems like a time where there's a lot of confusion about whether people have to pay, what happens if they don't pay, what can happen to them, can landlords evict them, can they evict them after the moratorium is lifted. So there's lots of different questions. People are very confused, and that's because the policies coming from the BC government are very confusing, and they only came out last Wednesday. So we had to really hustle to have our legal advocates try to interpret what this might mean for April 1st. And so we've kind of put this out with the understanding that it might need revisions later. But we're trying to prepare people for those different kinds of scenarios and try to get people just to make, you know, decisions with the best information possible, I guess.
Yeah. And while you mentioned that some of the details in here might change, I still wanted to ask you just a few questions that I think might be kind of buzzing around in renters' heads right now. So first off, we know that the provincial government has put a near total moratorium on evictions, and that means that if someone can't pay rent on April 1st, they can't be evicted, but they can still be served an eviction notice. So I'm just wondering, I know that the residential tenancy branch isn't processing these eviction notices right now, but my question is, will tenants who receive eviction notices during this public health crisis, will they be evicted once the crisis ends?
Right, and that is something that has not been clarified. So in a typical, when somebody gets an eviction notice for non-payment of rent, it's called a 10-day notice.
Right.
And that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's a 10-day notice because it's within 10 days you can be evicted. But it actually, you only have 5 days to dispute it or to pay the rent.
Okay.
So it's very fast. It's a very quick turnaround. We've gone into buildings where people didn't even realize what they got, and it was the day before they would have had to dispute. So there's all kinds of problems with that, which are very are against renters, basically.
Yeah.
But we're preparing people for the worst case scenario, which is if hundreds and maybe thousands of people can't pay, maybe hundreds and thousands of eviction notices go out too, and maybe people only have 5 days to dispute them, because if they don't dispute them, it's essentially like saying that they agree to move out.
Right.
Now, it's possible, and we don't know this because, again, it's the BC government that has not provided any direction on this, that it's possible that if people don't dispute that within 5 days, then they may not have a chance to dispute it once the moratorium is lifted. So we're really trying to prepare people for the worst. And that information might change, but we have to be as cautious as we can be.
Okay, so right now you don't know the answer, but you would recommend that people dispute the eviction notice within the allotted time. And, sorry, how do they dispute it?
Yeah, and so that creates another issue. You can dispute it online.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the residential tenancy branch was set up, that they actually only had one central office in Burnaby. So it was already a challenge for many people to be able to dispute it in person. And there's some disputes that you have to do in person, like if you have group disputes. However, most people that get an eviction notice for non-payment of rent, they can dispute it online.
Okay.
And there is, within the toolkit, there are some directions for how to do that.
So another question I have is, any rent payments that go unpaid right now, like if someone can't pay their rent at all or can't pay it in full, will whatever amount is missing be due after this crisis ends? Like, are people going to be accumulating kind of rent debt?
All indications would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If there is no negotiated agreement with your landlord, and we're trying to make sure that people understand that evidence is required as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a verbal agreement doesn't mean anything. You know, it might as well have not happened. You need email is good. Email can be used as evidence.
Okay.
If you do negotiate a deal with your landlord, or your building negotiates a deal with your landlord, but yeah, if that is not done, if there's no negotiated rent, then it's expected that amount will be paid at a later date. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly it. Rent debt, and we have 50% of Canadians apparently live check to check. So there's going to be a lot of that, and part of why, you know, our thinking around this is that we're looking, you know, 3 or 4 months down the road when people have not been able to pay their rent for several months, potentially, you know, and we know that we're going to have to mount a really strong campaign for cancellation and for forgiveness from debt, from rent debt. And so that's also part of our campaign.
Yeah. Okay, I have one last question about the toolkit. So renters can't be forcibly removed from their homes by landlords. They can't be evicted unless it's, you know, a case of violence or whatever. But they can still be harassed by their landlords, especially in cases where a landlord lives in the same building or house as their tenants. What advice does the toolkit give on resisting landlord harassment at this time?
Right. So I guess the first thing is just to have clarity around what a landlord is not able to do.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some of those things. So they're not able to physically evict you. They're not able to change the locks. They're not able to, and I've seen some of this stuff happen, they're not able to take a tenant's personal property and take it out of the unit.
Okay.
And they're not personally able to contract a bailiff or somebody else to do it either.
Okay.
So in these times, they can't do any of those things. So that's really important for people to know. You don't have to talk to your landlord. If they are trying to harass you on the phone, you don't have to answer. If they're trying to harass you at the door, you don't have to answer. They are not allowed in your suite. They can't get access to your suite unless it's basically risking personal safety or property damage.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like in the case of a broken pipe or a fire, typically.
Right.
So in other cases of landlord harassment, it's all about evidence. Verbal hearsay, like you know, they did this and they did that, it doesn't go anywhere in the RTV. So if you have, if you could take your cell phone, you can take recordings.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to be a little bit, even if it's a phone call, and you have some way of recording that, that's helpful. So people do need to protect themselves. If they are being harassed by their landlord, you need to find a way to collect that evidence. If you really can't, then right after it happens, you make a journal entry. Just mm-hmm. write down what happened, date it, and at least that can be used if you want to make a claim afterwards.
Okay, great. That's helpful. So something I'm interested in is, so during this pandemic, obviously people are instructed to socially distance, so people can't meet one-on-one or hold meetings. And your renter's toolkit is designed to help renters knowing that, like knowing they can't gather in groups or meet in person, especially with support from VTU leaders. I know often, you know, you have groups that go around and help people organize, and you have AGMs and meetings and stuff, and right now you can't really do that. So I'm wondering if so far you've seen folks be successful overall at organizing, you know, over the internet and by phone and by email without meeting in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're really encouraging is we think that specifically organizing buildings and creating communication structures within buildings is where tenants have the most power to have negotiations with their landlords and to use other tactics as well. So we're emphasizing if people want to organize their building safely, that they go to bcrentcrisis.ca, and there's actually a Google form that they can fill out, which will collect some information about them and their building, and it will send it to us.
Hmm.
And it's basically saying, like, if you want help organizing your building, let us know, and we'll contact you and we'll walk it through. And that's all done remotely.
Hmm.
And we've had to think through every step of our organizing,
mm-hmm.
and figure out how to do it while being very, very cautious. So what we're saying is that means obviously no in-person meeting. It means not slipping leaflets or paper underneath doors, because we know that it's the length of time that COVID-19 stays on surfaces, it seems to be just growing by the day.
Yeah.
So we want to be really careful, and we have protocols around that. And it means no door knocking and no talking at the doorway too. So it does mean that we're bringing more people into online,
mm-hmm.
or phone. But, you know, it's really interesting. Very, very, there's so much more interest right now because of the crisis that's happening. So
mm-hmm.
We had a person who basically came out of the blue, has never had much organizing experience, never talked to us before, and he's got, you know, 60-70% of his building with him. They used a building survey to figure out what people want to do, and they're negotiating with their landlord right now.
Wow.
And the BC government is kind of relying on the good faith of landlords to be able to stem their crisis. That was their policy, their so-called policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy, well, not happy, I'd like to say that the reality is that a lot of people that we talk to who are doing this come back with no.
Mm.
They come back with business as usual. They come back with you have to pay or you will get an eviction notice. They come back with threats. This person was threatened because they are they have a sublease.
Mm.
And so they said, you shouldn't even be organizing the tenants, you know,
right.
Kind of like a threat. So those stories are coming out more and more. So I think it shows the naivety of that kind of policy, and it shows what the actual kind power dynamics between landlords and renters are unless we keep organizing.
Right. And so just to be clear, you're saying that what you're hearing as a leader in the Vancouver Tenants Union is that overall, when people have reached out to their landlords to negotiate reduced rent or deferred payments, that the response from landlords has not been generous or supportive.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. It has not been generous. You know, we might have heard of like one or two, but at the very least, what they're saying is like a deferred payment schedule,
mm-hmm.
you know, which actually creates a higher rent for tenants for the next however many months, and possibly interest on top of that. And so basically that is putting people into a situation of renter's debt.
Yeah.
And we know that people's incomes are already stretched. So it's basically raising their rent for the future.
Yeah, because I know we are seeing in the news, there's like some reports of landlords being really great, and you wonder how one-off those cases are. And it seems that they are pretty unusual from what you're saying.
Particularly with larger kind of corporate landlords, we haven't seen any wiggle room with that. You know, if it's a mom and pop landlord with somebody in their basement, you know, they kind of often those people appreciate their tenants, and they know mm-hmm. that they're helping to pay their mortgage and everything else. So.
Yeah. So lastly, I'm wondering, with the provinces now, they promised up to $500 support for renters who can't pay their rent. And then there is also $1,000 they've offered for people who've lost work in the province because of COVID. And then obviously there's also the federal government has some support for people. And none of this money is accessible right now, which is a problem if you're paying April 1st rent. However, in the months ahead, May, June, July, etc., do you feel hopeful that people in BC are going to have enough financial support from different levels of government to be able to pay their rent?
It really depends on the situation. We know that the $1,000 is just a one-time payment, so that won't last in terms of people's finances. And even if what we're seeing in buildings is that there's a range of incomes, you know. Some people are still working full-time. Some people have lost part of their income. Some people lost all of their employment income.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have different subsidies. So if we look at $1,800 or $2,000 from the federal government, like the emergency income supplement, and then we look at what the average rent is or the market rent is in Vancouver, I think people are still going to be really struggling.
Yeah.
You know, like market rent, if you have to go look for a place right now, you're looking at like $2,100
mm-hmm.
Is the average market rent. And even like the CMHC average rent is about $1,500. So that means that people are paying, you know, 70 or 80% of their income on rent already. And all of the things that we need for our health, like, you know, food and supplies and all that kind of stuff, is second. And that, you know, I do think that there's a lot of people that are going to be really stretched. And if the government doesn't come through with additional supports or without cancellation to debt, I think it could be a real problem, and it could get really ugly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking with me, David. This has been really helpful to have some of these questions answered. And I'll link to your renter's toolkit.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, take care, and thanks for all your hard work.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to David Hendry for his time. The song you hear is Cinema Pathetic by Blue Dot Sessions. Please go to vancouvertenantsunion.ca/toolkit to read the renter toolkit information in detail. Take care.